We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and it's the return of No Huddle Offense.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
Okay, we start you off in Atlanta, where the Falcons did what they do best. And that's choke away a football game. They were up 26-10 in the fourth quarter. Then Michael Thomas, welcome back. 5 catches for 57 yards, 2 touchdowns. Both of those touchdowns came in the fourth quarter. Here is Will Lutz drilling a 51-yard field goal with 19 seconds remaining to give the Saints a 27-26 lead, which ended up being the final. Here is Mike Haas on the Saints Radio Network.
23 seconds left. Will Lutz, kick is down. And the kick is good. Will Lutz puts the Saints on top with 19 seconds to play.
We go to Chicago. It was a monsoon. I've never seen anything like that. And Justin Fields and the Bears made you think that this is going to be another miserable day for the Bears when they were down 10-0 to the 49ers. When that game is 10-0, in those elements, hot take Hickey, which only got worse throughout the day, you thought, turn out the lights, the party's over. There's no way that the Chicago Bears were going to get to 11 points or more, right?
Couldn't agree more.
Well, not so fast. Justin Fields had hit Equanimeous St. Brown for a touchdown. This gave the Bears a 13-10 lead in the fourth. Jeff Joniak on the Bears Radio Network.
I formation under center. Fields takes and fakes with time. Lofts to an Oakland. Equanimeous St. Brown to the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! He feathered it in there beautifully. Equanimeous grabbed it in the end zone.
And the final ended up being 19-10. And I think maybe the video of week one was Justin Fields and his teammates afterward, like a slip and slide, sliding across the field at Soldier Field. That was pretty awesome, hot take, Hickey.
That's a great way to call it. Picture of the year so far, or at least the week.
Trey Lance on the other end, though. 13-28, 164 yards. One INT at 13 carries for 54 yards. We go to Cincinnati. The Steelers entered this game as a 6.5-point dog, in some books a 7-point dog. It looked like the Steelers were cruising to a victory. New offensive line for the Bengals. We thought it was all going to get improved, and it couldn't be worse than a year ago. Not off to a good start. And late in this one, the Steelers choked the lead. The Bengals were driving. We thought Jamar Chase had a touchdown. Then it was taken off the board. Then he scored, and all they needed was a PAT. Minkah Fitzpatrick earlier in the game had a pick six. A few plays before this got called for unnecessary roughness, and he saved the day to get this game into overtime when he blocked the PAT. This is the Steelers Radio Network.
Ball is down. The kick is on.
It's blocked. Kick is blocked. Minkah Fitzpatrick blocked the kick. And we have a tie game with 2 seconds left. Another Minkah moment.
Now, in overtime, field goal kicking was not exceptional. Kind of carried the theme from the end of regulation. I didn't like Zach Taylor punting the football when the clock was running. It gave the Steelers some extra life. And then you got a game-winning 53-yard field goal. We'll send it right back out to the Steelers Radio Network.
Straightaway kick. Good snap. Down. Kick is on its way. That kick is long enough. High enough. And it is
good!
The kick is good! The Steelers survive in Cincinnati. How it happened, it'll take you an hour. Me an hour to tell you.
That was one of the most bizarre games, Ryan, that I've ever seen.
I mean, how the Steelers even allowed the Bengals to be around, then how the Bengals...
And then how the Bengals lost.
Didn't find a way to win the game multiple times.
And then how the game didn't end in a tie is unbelievable.
Mind-blowing.
When I was doing Eye on Football, I go, all right, we have the Texans and the Colts. That looks like it's going to end in a tie. And the Steelers and Bengals also going to end in a tie. Then I look up and I go, the Steelers just kicked a game-winning field goal. What the bleep happened? We go to Detroit. This game wasn't as close as what the score does read. The Lions, though, gave a good effort. Eagles win 38-35. The guy's name is James Bradberry. He's been in the league for a long time. He had a 27-yard pick six to make it 21-7 in the second quarter. Here is Merrill Reese and Mike Quick on the Eagles radio network.
Goff takes the snap, backs up, lets it fly, and it is intercepted! Intercepted! Running with the football is Blackberry, and Blackberry's in for the touchdown! Pick six, James Blackberry!
Bradberry!
Now, if you know Merrill Reese, he is the nicest person on the planet.
On Eagles Radio Network, powered by PNC for the Achiever and you.
He's 80. He's 80. He's still doing what he loves. But man, calling James Bradberry, James Blackberry. What is this? 2013 with my phone selection? And I love Mike Quick. Bradberry. Oh, Bradberry! Pardon me! Touchdown! That was great. A.J. Brown, he survived the bee sting that he got earlier in the week and in his Eagles debut. 10 for a buck 55. And you should have said after the game, Tennessee Titans, why didn't you pay me? We go down to Florida. Dolphins dominate the Patriots no matter what Bill Belichick says. And right at the end of the first half, Jalen Waddle had a 42-yard TD snag. Does the waddling penguin in the end zone. This was 17-0 Dolphins. Here's Jimmy Cephalo and Joe Rose on the Dolphins radio network.
Raheem Mostert is the running back.
Wow.
They're going for it. Tua. Over the middle. He's got first down. And a touchdown from Waddle.
What a gutsy call.
Jalen Waddle.
We got the penguin in the end zone, too. Boy, is that nice to see.
And that was on 4th and 7. What a play call by the media darling, Mike McDaniel. If I may say so myself there, hot take, Hickey.
So far, so good for the media darling.
And he's got cojones. Big cojones. He's going to need the wheelbarrow, according to Tyreek Hill, like in South Park. You ever seen that episode?
Oh, yeah. This guy's not afraid of Bill Belichick.
Tua Tagovailoa, 23-33 for 270 yards and a touchdown. We go to the swamps of Jersey, where Robert Salas says that the Jets lost to the Ravens. The Ravens didn't beat the Jets. WTF, yep, that's what the coach said. Ravens dominate the Jets 24-9. Lamar Jackson with a 55-yard touchdown pass to second-year wide receiver Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota. This made it 24-3. Let's listen up to Jerry Sandusky on the Ravens radio network. That's Jerry with a G, by the way.
Jackson off the play fake, drifts to the right. Steps up, throwing deep.
Open.
He's looking for Bateman at the 10. Bateman has it. Touchdown, Ravens. Rashad Bateman, 55 yards, and the Ravens are pulling away.
Lamar Jackson didn't get a new contract before his Friday deadline. He did go 17 of 30, 213 yards, and 3 passing touchdowns. For people that say Lamar Jackson could only run, well, he only had 6 rushes for 17 yards. Hickey, how'd you process the Commanders and Jaguars? Because Carson Wentz looked like, even though his stat line says he has 4 touchdowns and 313 yards, it was 27 to 41, when he threw those 2 picks, it looked like Carson Wentz was in midseason form. How'd you process that one yesterday?
I was laughing at the Trayvon Walker. It's classic Carson. Especially against a bad team, against the Jaguars.
Well, is it really classic Carson? Because, yes, he did throw the interceptions, but usually doesn't pull the rabbit out of his hat late.
Yeah, I guess you're right. That's actually, you know what? That's a good point. It's actually maddening because it's actually the reverse. Usually he throws those nice touchdowns
it's
early in the first half.
It's what you needed last year against Jacksonville.
And melts in the second half for the Colts. And this year he decided, oh, I'm just going to play my best in the fourth quarter. What a clown.
And Jahan Dotson, who I've been praising all offseason long. And I told you, I really like this Commanders roster outside of the quarterback. In his debut, he had not one but 2 receiving touchdowns. Here's the second one from Carson Wentz. Here's Bram Weinstein on the Commanders radio network.
Snap to Wentz on a 3rd and 8. Jacksonville brings 6. He throws a fade towards Dotson and fights for it and makes a catch. Unbelievable catch by Dotson. Touchdown. Touchdown, Washington.
That's a great call. That's a really good call by Bram. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Hoo, hoo. Up against Matt Rule's Carolina Panthers. Baker Mayfield makes his debut. 16 of 27, 235 yards, two total touchdowns, and a pick. Had one bomb to Robbie Anderson and then ran one in himself. But you can't ignore the first half. Second half was good. The first half, that offense basically did nothing. They were down by 10 at intermission. And it looked like the Panthers were going to find a way to pull out a victory. Even though they trailed in the first half by 10, they're marching down the field late. And I'm thinking, okay, they're going to go get a touchdown, or at least they're going to let the clock run out and hit a game-winning field goal. And they stalled. They hit the field goal. They go up. But then the Browns come marching down the field, and Cade York, the rookie, hits the game-winning 58-yard field goal. This gave Cleveland the lead with 8 seconds to go. Let's listen up to Jim Donovan on the Browns Radio Network.
Snap back. He's into it. Line drive. End over end. The kick is up, and it is. And it is good. Cade York hit the field goal from 58 yards out with 8 seconds left to go in the ball game.
And I said, here we go again. It's the Cleveland Browns, and it's 1st and 10.
You more upset with the way that the Panthers played or more impressed by the Brownies? Hot take, Icky.
Upset about the Panthers. They should have won this game. Baker should have played better in the first half.
I agree. We have a highlight for Colts and Texans. The Texans are up 20-3. They didn't win the game. The Colts coming on back, playing with Hickey's emotions. In overtime, it looks like the Colts are going to go win the game somehow. And Rodrigo Blankenship missed a 42-yard field goal. Let's listen up to Matt Taylor and the coach, Rick Venturi, on the Colts Radio Network.
This is a 42-yard field goal for Rodrigo Blankenship. Here we go. It's all on the line here in week number one. There it is. Snap. Placement. Kick is on its way. It's up, and it is no good. He missed it wide to the right. Come on.
Thank you, coach. Matt Taylor's got to sound more deflated. That's a good word to use there. Dejected. Hickey, how'd you process that? Were you screaming at the television? Were you cursing?
I was so mad. Yes. Yes. That game was over. Colts should have lost. Then they should have won. I hate this team.
And, oh, you hate this team?
Like, no, I don't, but that was just maddening. That is such a
bad loss. The leader of our Odyssey Colts podcast says he hates the Colts.
Or bad. See, I say bad loss. It feels like a loss.
Well, it is. That's, I know it's a tie. But I think we're from the same school. I'd rather lose than tie, even though it doesn't help you in the standings, because when I watch football, I want to see either a winner or a loss, not this bullcrap tying stuff.
So bad. That is so bad. What a mess.
I talked to someone in Indianapolis yesterday, very close to the organization. You want to know what they said to me afterwards?
What is that?
We're raising a banner that says, at least we didn't lose
week one. Oh, here we go. The week one streak is over.
Week one participants.
8 straight losses on week one is snapped.
That's really what you're going to tell me?
It's the truth.
Jonathan Taylor, he is the truth. 31 carries, 161 yards, and a touchdown. We go to Nashville, New York, Tennessee, the New York Football Giants and the Tennessee Titans. Chris Myrick, I was at Temple when this guy was awarded his scholarship. He was originally a walk-on for the Owls. Here's a 1-yard TD grab. This made it 20-19 with 106 left in the fourth quarter. Here's Bob Papa on the Giants radio network.
Barkley in a one-back set. Now Sills comes in motion right. Play fake. Jones rolls right. Throws right. Touchdown, Giants. Chris Myrick. They got the tight end leaking out. And with 106 to go, the Giants are an extra point away from tying it.
Now, I was stunned here because Saquon Barkley was sensational in the game. 18 carries, 164 yards, a touchdown, 6 catches for 30 yards. I thought they were going to run the football with Saquon. And the next thing you know, you have Daniel Jones, who had a horrible interception late in that game, throwing a touchdown pass to Chris. So the big decision there was, do you go for two or not? And this was on Eye on Football. Jody McDonald and I had the conversation. I said to Jody, they got to go for two. You're the Giants. You've stunk for the last 5 years. You have nothing to lose this year. Just, it's a wash season. Just go for it. Be aggressive if you're Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll, listen. And Saquon Barkley, muscled his way into the end zone, and this gave the Giants a 21-20 lead. Bob Papa on the Giants Radio Network.
Jones takes the snap, rolls right, shovel pass for Barkley. Barkley in for the two-point conversion. A little shovel pass to Saquon, and then he did the rest, taking on defenders, and the Giants have the lead 21-20 with 106 to go.
Now, even though we've both been very critical of Ryan Tannehill, Ryan Tannehill made a great throw to put the Tennessee Titans in field goal position to win it. And Tennessee has struggled throughout the years in the Mike Vrabel era with their kickers. Let's hear the missed field goal. Is this the Titans radio network? All right, yeah. We like misery. Go ahead.
It's a big moment for Bullock. It's a big moment for all the Titans. And it's certainly a big moment for Ryan Stonehouse. 47 yards to win it. Snap. Set. Kick. No good. No good. And the New York Giants have come to Nashville and knocked off the Tennessee Titans.
Who's the coach that does their games with always Texas with the emojis? McGinnis?
Dave McGinnis.
Did you hear that headset slam?
Couldn't miss it. Couldn't miss it. He ripped that thing right off.
You can't celebrate, though, that. You shouldn't be overly excited. Your football team tied.
That was the only positive from Sunday.
Yeah. You know what my positive was
Titans
on Sunday?
Losing. What was that?
Oh, my Patriots suck. Other than hosting Ion Football, which I had a blast, my positive was my Chinese food order. And I also love the countless of listeners that would tweet me, hey, I'm driving Uber. I'm driving DoorDash. I just ordered Chinese. Scott Hansen even saying he's ordering Chinese food because of the Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. And I love Chinese food on a Sunday night football. And just ordering that for dinner and hot tikiki, he can't stand it. And hot tikiki, that's why he's emaciated and doesn't know the greatness in the food world. Let's go to Minnesota. Packers and Vikings. The Vikings won this game 23-7. Justin Jefferson is a stud. 9 catches for 184 yards and 2 touchdowns. Let's listen to the second touchdown snag of the game. Oh, give me Paul Allen. Let's go.
Play action. Kirk back to pass. He'll throw right. Look at that. Jefferson uncovered. 20, 15, 10. Dances to the right to the 5. Dives for the end zone. Touchdown! And JJ is killing them again.
This dude's the best wide receiver in the NFL. What he's done the first 2 years, what he's going to do this year, he's insane. And usually when a receiver gets drafted or any player, they go, oh, I'm going to make everyone that got drafted in front of me pay at my position. It usually doesn't work out. Well, look at Josh Rosen. Well, I guess it's different when you're a Minnesota receiver because Randy Moss said it, it worked. Justin Jefferson said it on this show, it worked. The receivers that were drafted before Justin Jefferson, in no order. Let's see if I can do it in order. Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Reagor. At least Jalen Reagor and him are teammates now. Justin Jefferson, dominant. We go out to the desert. The idea and the talk that the Chiefs are going to take a massive step back was greatly exaggerated. Chiefs 44, Cardinals 21, Mecole Hardman, a 2-yard touchdown snag. This made it 37-7 in the third quarter. This was the 5th passing touchdown of the day for Patrick Mahomes. Let's listen to Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs radio network. Mahomes in this game, 30-39, 360 yards, and 5 touchdowns.
Running back is McKinnon. He had the cutback run earlier in this drive. They fake it to him. They throw left. It's caught by Hardman. Touchdown, Kansas City. Hardman goes right to left in motion and then gets a free area right at the goal line. A 2-yard touchdown pass for Mahomes. His 5th of the game.
Let's go out to SoFi Stadium. Chargers and Raiders. AFC West showdown. Here's Gerald Everett with an 18-yard TD snag. This made it 24-10 in the third quarter in favor of the Chargers. Matt Money Smith on the Chargers radio network.
Herbert shotgun. Takes the handoff to Kelly. Now running to his left, throwing to his left, trying to thread it. He's got a man caught into the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers. Gerald Everett from Justin Herbert, 18 yards for the score.
Herbert, 26-34, 279 yards and 3 passing touchdowns. Davante Adams in his Raiders debut, 10 catches for 141 yards and a touchdown. In the final meaningful game for the Cowboys this season, they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Buccaneers win 19-3. Tom Brady still doing his thing, even though the focus was the Bucs' defense. At the age of 45, TB12 finds Mike Evans on a beautiful throw and a great catch. This is a 5-yard TD snag. It made it 19-3. Here is Gene Dekaroff on the Bucs Radio Network.
Ball at the 5-yard line. This drive began back at the 21. Dropping, 3-step drop. Throws on the end zone. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans reaches up with one hand and grabs it in.
3 points by the Cowboys are the second fewest by the Cowboys in an opener in franchise history. And now Dak Prescott, who left the game with a thumb injury, is going to need surgery. He's getting that today, and he's expected to miss 6 to 8 games. That's No Huddle Offense. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The hot take hickey effect, the hot take hickey mush is already in full force. He picked the Denver Broncos to win it all. He picked Russell Wilson to be the league MVP. He picked, potentially, Nathaniel Hackett to be coach of the year. And the first drive for the Seattle Seahawks in a regular season game without Russell Wilson going up against Russell Wilson's Denver Broncos, the Seahawks go for a 6-play, 70-yard drive in 3 minutes and 34 seconds. And on 3rd and 2 at Denver's 38, Geno Smith didn't get punched in the mouth before this game. He threw the first punch, and he hit Will Disley for a 38-yard touchdown. Hot take, Hickey? The extra point was good. So I have to ask you, are you worried?
Not worried. No shaking in my boots. If you look at my hand, it is right now reached straight.
And it's shaking a little
no
bit.
No wobbling, no shakiness.
Now, when
I'm
firm. Now, we look at the AFC West this past weekend. The Chiefs dominated the Cardinals. The Chargers beat the Raiders. Now, their offense for the Chargers, I thought they left a lot of points out there. Because that game should have been a lot uglier than what it actually was when Derek Carr threw for 3 interceptions. So in some way, I think the Chargers can be a whole lot better. But in another way, yeah, the Raiders were terrible for most of the game. But the fact that they almost had a chance to go win the game, Ryan, with all those errors, was actually, in a weird way, somewhat impressive. And I feel like whenever the Chargers and Raiders get together, it always somehow, one way or another, comes down to one final drive.
Yeah, I didn't really come away feeling good about really either team.
Well, yeah. Herbert's a stud.
He is, but that Chargers offense at times, it got a little stagnant. It's like, oh, really? You know, you should be.
Keenan Allen got
secondary.
Hurt.
He did. But when you're a good, you know, when you're a quarterback to the level of some people talking
sure.
him up, you know, make some plays.
Well, he won the game, most importantly. And that's what you need to do in these AFC West
games.
They
did. That offensive line for the Raiders.
Problematic.
P.U.
They may be calling Alex Leatherwood back.
They might. Seriously.
And the Broncos right now, they're down 7-0, but they are on the move already inside the red zone for the Seattle Seahawks. So how about this? Everyone was praising the Seahawks defense. Oh, the Seahawks defense will be better than what people think, and it's going to be the offense that holds them back. It was the offense that made a big play, and the defense is letting them down. As Russell Wilson almost just threw an interception. But that was, as they would say in Denver, incomplete. Jamal Adams. He's already celebrating Jamal Adams.
He's the worst.
One of the more overrated players in the league. I wouldn't say he's the worst. He's just one of the more overrated players in the league. For a guy that you... Oh, the ball hit him right in the face mask.
I mean, is there a more overrated player, though? If we're being all, you know, serious here, in all honesty.
When you had to give up 2 first-round picks to get him and pay him.
And reset the safety market for a guy who can't cover anyone.
He's not worth it.
Who is, you know, will duck out of the way of running backs coming his way.
Like, he's not a bad player. But he's not worth to give up 2 first-round picks.
He's not a Derwin James kind of game-changing safety that Derwin James is.
Yeah. Or you look at when the Rams gave up 2 first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey. I know Jalen Ramsey got burnt like toast up against the Buffalo Bills, but Jalen Ramsey, for the most part, has been a heck of a player in this league with Jacksonville and then also with the Rams. But Jamal Adams, jeez.
And the trash talking, too.
Kind of crazy the Jets won that trade.
Yeah.
You look
yeah.
at the state of both franchises, both of them are in the gutter. And the Jets, they tell you, oh, yeah, we lost the game. The other team didn't win it. What the heck was that? And isn't that bizarre for Robert Saleh to say? When you're the head football coach of the Jets, you can't say that to the New York media. They will eat you alive. And it's so important when you're the coach of a New York football team. And I think everyone expects the Jets are going to be bad this year. I don't think anyone's predicting them to go make the playoffs, unless if you're delusional. You can't give quotes like that, because then that makes you look like you don't have control. And that's what Todd Bowles kind of happened to him. He was just so dry with the media, didn't really ever show any emotion. And when you say things like that, or you make the press conference a focus, Adam Gase with his eyes, and then you're also losing, then that's how you quickly find your way out of a job.
Especially when you lose 24-9, the only touchdown you score is in the last minute of the game in garbage time.
Like, you drop a ball at the goal line and you would have won the game. Okay, you could blame yourself.
Right. Like, you were nowhere close. Nowhere close. You can't.
And the Ravens didn't even play their best brand of football yesterday, because they didn't need to.
They lost the game. They didn't win.
Yeah, that's bad. Jeez. Hey, let me throw this team out there. I think we all believe Sean Payton's going to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, unless the Chargers just flop this year, and then he should run to Los Angeles. But I think Brandon Staley, he was my pick to win Coach of the Year. I think the Chargers are going to win that AFC West. They're definitely, to me, they're going to be a playoff team, so I don't think Brandon Staley's going to get fired. What about the Jets for Sean Payton? It's a quick hook on Robert Saleh, but it's not the first time they'd be getting rid of a coach 2 years in.
It depends on his love of Zach Wilson, or it depends on his love for either college quarterback, if the Jets are as bad as we think they are.
Well, whoever Sean wants as his quarterback from the Jets, I'd be... Now, I'm not a Jets fan, but I, you know, if I was going to use the term, I'd be driving him to from the airport.
What is the benefit for... Like, what's the intrigue for Sean Payton to go there?
Goes to New York. He's coached in New York before. He could get entire control of the organization, I guess. That's the one thing with Dallas. Now, Jerry, early on, handled Bill Parcells the correct way, and we know the importance of the Cowboys to Sean Payton's career. So maybe he just wants to go to Dallas. There's nothing to do. There's still that fear, though, that Jerry can't get out of his own way. Where in New York, not that Woody Johnson is this creme de la creme owner, but I think Woody would be smart enough to maybe go be the ambassador in England again and get away from the football team for 3 years and just let Sean Payton run your team.
Would you?
You got to try for the Jets.
Oh, out. Could not agree more. It's a full court press. Wouldn't any other team outside of Dallas probably give them that same thing?
You would imagine.
Right? If you're the Chargers and let's say go south, like, take over the team. Own the team.
Well, let's be real. If you are Sean at this stage of your career, this only adds on to your legacy. I don't think we'll look at Sean any differently if he goes to another place and has 3 or 4 bad years. The guy won a Super Bowl in New Orleans, and we know how much that Super Bowl meant. I don't think it ruins his legacy. It could only enhance his legacy. Like, you look at Theo Epstein, for example. Wins all those World Series in Boston and then goes to Chicago. Took a risk. The Cubs were in a dreadful state. Takes a risk, goes there, wins a World Series, and it adds on to his legacy. If Theo Epstein, and yes, breaking 2 curses in those 2 cities means a lot, but if Theo Epstein failed in Chicago, the guy's still a Hall of Fame executive. Sean, he's a Hall of Fame coach, and we'll see how much he does love TV, but I think everyone acknowledges that he's going to eventually be back on the sideline, and I do expect he'll be in Dallas next year.
Not that his legacy would go down. I do think that you could hurt your reputation a little bit if you go to the Jets, and it's a total disaster.
But wouldn't people then just say, I'm not saying some wouldn't think of him a little bit differently, but wouldn't you think the majority of the people would go, well, everyone fails in New York? Now, I know it's totally different. Phil Jackson was as an executive, and we know what he's done as a coach. He's in the all-time great category when it comes to a coach. As good of a coach Sean Payton is, he's not in the all-time great category. Is anyone going to look back at Phil Jackson's career other than you because you're a Knicks fan and go, oh, yeah, Phil Jackson was absolutely dreadful, falling asleep at meetings when he was running the Knicks? No, you remember what he did in Chicago and L.A.?
I will use 2 examples, both a little bit different than Sean Payton exactly, but Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville, no, taking the college job is different than or going to the NFL is different than college football. One and done, for his own reasons off the field.
Sure, but Urban Meyer is also unlikable. Urban Meyer, everywhere he's gone, even though he won everywhere in college, had a lot happening off the field.
He did also win, though, everywhere he went, like you mentioned.
Now, and let's just say, timeout. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but whenever Urban Meyer does pass away, are people going to bring up the Jaguars? Unless if you write horrible obituaries, everyone's going to say all-time great college football coach Urban
Not
Meyer
right away,
away,
but I think it's like top three things you say. Like, I don't think you tell Urban Meyer.
Oh, I don't think so. I think you talk about Florida, talk about Ohio State, and then if he's on Fox for the next 20 years, a great Fox analyst.
Then it's, remember that 1 year in Jacksonville?
Yeah, it's a footnote.
But here's maybe a better example. Tony La Russa, going over to the White Sox. He's a Hall of Fame manager, one of the best
Already in the Hall of Fame.
But he's one of those guys where, I mean, he's making a fool of himself.
Sure, but in 10 years, no one's going to remember the White Sox with Tony La Russa. It's going to be everything that he did with the Cardinals.
And I think people will remember.
No.
It's recency bias. It's not going to be, again, number one. You're going to talk mostly about his, you know, his Cardinals excellence, what he did with the Athletics. Like,
yeah.
But it's also, too, like, I think you can't talk about Tony La Russa, that the latest, you know, soiree
yeah,
into
but
managing.
But that's not going to define him.
No, I'm not saying define. Same thing with Urban Meyer. I'm not saying the Jaguars are going to define him.
I think it will be a small minority of people that bring up the White Sox.
We'll talk about it. So it's for Sean Payton, for example, if he goes to the Jets and it flames out, it's not just totally, like, no harm, no foul. It's not his legacy.
Whenever people talk about him, it's going to be, sure, okay, he didn't have success with the Jets, but what he did in New Orleans was all-time greatness because of what that Super Bowl meant to the city. And him in that relationship with Drew Brees. And the cojones that he showed at the halftime of a Super Bowl up against your team, the Indianapolis Colts, with the little onside kick. Pooch!
I mean, look, Sean Payton's a great coach. I'm just saying the longer anyone hangs around, legend or not, you leave yourself susceptible, and there's always kind of hits that could come to the legacy. Again, small, you know,
yeah, but
dings.
That's just dumb Twitter conversation.
Nothing huge.
That's what it is. It's dumb Twitter conversation. The overall landscape of people. And the majority of people are going to remember Sean for what he did in New Orleans. If he goes to the Jets for 3 years and let's say he goes 6-10, 8-9, and then 7 wins, I don't think anyone's going to say, no longer a great coach, horrible, legacy ruined. That's just me. But maybe I'm wrong.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Appreciate Will Levis joining us once again earlier. The Kentucky quarterback has had a big win once again up against Georgia. Against Florida. The head football coach, by the way, of Marshall is going to be joining us, who beat Notre Dame over the weekend, Charles Huff, at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. Right now, the Seahawks are up 7-3 against the Denver Broncos with 2:42 to go. This has not been a good NFL start to the betting year. College have been okay, but man, I would be 0-2 in my picks right now. I picked the Panthers on a pick'em, Pats +3.5, and then I did take the Broncos in this game, laying the 6.5. So not a good start. College, I did all right over the weekend. But geez, I need the Broncos here to rally. I need them to have a big next three quarters and find a way to put the nail in the coffin by 6.5 points. On the Seattle Seahawks. How'd you do on Hickey's Pickies, by the way, after your dreadful start for college football, going 1-4, the caller going 5-0? Do you know how you did this past weekend?
I actually got to look it up. I think I had a winning week. Let's see.
Look how surprised you are.
I know.
I can't believe what I just saw.
Let's see. I know I got the Chargers right, 1-1. I got Kentucky right, 2-2. I know I got Alabama wrong.
I really don't believe what I just saw.
Alabama I got wrong. Tampa was all over, and I got the Panthers wrong. So 3-2. Panthers wrong, Bucks right, Chargers right, Kentucky right, Bama wrong.
Where was your caller from this week who went up against you?
He's actually in agreement for all five.
Well, that's not fun.
All five he agreed with me on.
Not that I'm advocating
for... Oh, I'm sorry. 4-5. He picked Florida over Kentucky.
So, oh, look at Hickey.
Let's go. Beat the caller. No big deal.
Did you thank Will Levis when he called in?
I did not. I should have, but I thought that's out of
you inconsiderate mother bleeper.
A little weak.
You're so inconsiderate. You didn't thank Will, friend of the show now. Been on multiple times. Was texting with him after the game. You don't say, hey, thanks. Appreciate you for getting that victory. Big 55-yard touchdown pass of the game. Nice rushing touchdown, too. No thank you to him.
Well, I mean, I don't think he was playing for me, let's say that.
How do you know that?
I don't think he was playing for Hickey's Pickies, unless he just has a lot of
empathy.
Maybe he
was listening, maybe he was listening early Saturday morning. Need a little ammunition. Say, I'll turn into that national radio show that I was on, and we'll hear them just bash me. And the next thing you know, he goes, he hears Hot Take Hickey. Kentucky to win the game this week and go to the Swamp and get the victory. And
well,
maybe he's rocking and rolling with you.
Full disclosure, I picked Florida to win the game, but I said Kentucky will cover the spread. I thought it was going to be a very ugly game. It turned out to be. So I was right about that. But I thought Florida would win a close one. So I took Kentucky with the spread. So
the Alabama-Texas game was awesome, but it also stunk because I felt like we were robbed of seeing Quinn Ewers as he left the game with the injury. And now, according to Pete Thamel, he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. It's just Texas should have won the game. And if Quinn Ewers would have played, I thought they would have won the game if he would have been able to finish that contest. But the bottom line is with Alabama, when you leave the door open against them, Will Anderson Jr. is the best defensive player in the country. He's going to make the stop to force the field goal. And then if you give Bryce Young enough time, he's going to go march down the field. I don't know about you, Ryan, but when they gave Bryce Young the time that they gave him, I looked to my friend that I was watching the game with. I said, this game's over. He is at a bare minimum going to get them in field goal range, and if the kicker misses it, then the kicker misses it, but he'll do everything that he can. And that throw that he made and the escape was just, I mean, the escape that he had was just straight out ridiculous.
I tweeted it on purpose because I knew this is a lock. It's already over. As soon as the Texas field goal went through, tweeted it before even Alabama stepped on the field. This game is over. Bama's winning. There was not a doubt in my mind.
I actually did
with
see that.
1:24 left. He was going to go down the field. Like, you watch how this game goes. You know, it's literally the Auburn game from last year reincarnated. Auburn played really well, put him, almost put him in jail per se. And then it's just like you give him one opportunity to get out of jail.
Well, that game was more in doubt than this game.
Right, they had to go 99 yards and need a touchdown. You're right. But it's the same thing. You let a great team hang around, you don't put them away, they're going to get you. We've seen it too many times.
So I actually did see your tweet. And when I saw your tweet, that was the first time I had any skepticism. I go, uh-oh, here comes the mush. After being so confident, turning to my friend, I remember going right to Twitter. And then I go, uh-oh, Hickey is all in on Bryce Young. When he's usually all in on someone and I'm usually all in on someone, something bad happens.
Bama is mushproof.
Now, I did see you have a lot of reactions to the decision to take the field goal at the end of the half. That wasn't my biggest gripe. They have to make the field goal. Now, if you want to tell me go for it, okay. But that wasn't my biggest takeaway. My biggest takeaway, and I know people are going to freak out about how that wasn't called a safety. I don't understand that whatsoever. I guess they're going to say Bryce Young hit the helmet. It should have been intentional grounding, which would have been a safety in the end zone. And it was just all crazy. But after that, they got the field goal out of it to make it 13-10. There was a missed face mask in that game. And that could have maybe led to a touchdown, but you only get a field goal 16-10. But when it's 17-16, and yeah, you take the field goal because you need the lead, but when you settle for a field goal, you leave it open for Alabama. So I'm okay with the field goal decision at the end of the first half. I can understand why you're arguing that that's a touchdown, but you need a touchdown there. But they had two or three opportunities where they could have really knocked out Alabama in the second half. And they were just delivering big jab after big jab after big jab, but never the jab that delivered the knockout punch. And that was the problem in the second half for Texas.
Nick Saban got the dynasty going in Alabama starting in 2009. So it's been like, 13 years now that we've seen this juggernaut rolling? You don't win playing conservative. You have to be the aggressor. You have to punch Nick Saban in the mouth. Like you said, when you give opportunities to this great team to come through, it doesn't matter what they've done the first 57 minutes. It doesn't matter how many stupid penalties Will Anderson has made or how many, bad block in the offensive line has done or bad routes by the receivers. This team gets the job done when it matters the most. You have to be aggressive. You have to be the one that's not afraid. And when you play scared, you play not to lose or conservatively, they are going to get you every time. And Sark, for whatever reason, you should know full well being on that staff, know what it takes to win. He didn't do so.
Now, with that being said, if they make the field goal, I know you can't play it this way. You never know how the other decisions are affected. But if they make that chip shot field goal, you could say they win the game. Final score was 20-19. That field goal would have been big at the end of the first half if they would have made it.
It would have been. You would have been even bigger. A touchdown. Send the message. And you know what? Even if you don't get it, Zach, I still think it still is a good move because then it sends confidence to
and
the rest of the locker room.
And your quarterback was hurt.
You're the backup quarterback at the 2-yard line. How many chances are you going to get down there you don't know? And also, too, if you don't get it, at least Sark is telling you, I have confidence in you guys to get the job done.
If you're a Texas fan, you happy with that? Because we went into that game saying, you know, just make this a game in the fourth quarter and we'll be good. But after the way you lose, oh, that's got to be deflating. One of my friends went to Texas, and he was texting me afterwards. He goes, that's just typical Texas football. In his lifetime, that's just typical Texas football is what he said to me. You happy if you're a Texas fan? Is that a moral victory?
I would say no.
Just because of the way
not
that it
that
went down.
Either.
Now, we both said just get it to the fourth quarter, and it's good if it's a close game. But with the way that it went down, yikes. That was brutal. Five questions, five answers, onsides, offside when we come on back. And Coach Charles Huff from Marshall, after they beat Notre Dame, is going to join us in about 25 minutes.